It's Tuesday, November 3rd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a program of the Tech Podcast Network. Can you believe it's November? Oh my goodness, where has the year gone? Hey, got a great show for you, and you know what to do next. Strap in real tight, because here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Again, my name is Todd Cochran, and make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. And check out all the great content over there. We'll be talking a little bit about the website here in a few moments. But, of course, I want to welcome the Ohana to the show. The Ohana, of course, are the extended family members of the Geek News Central podcast. You know, as I've been putting this show on now for 5+ years, that's pretty scary, isn't it? I build up an amazing following of friends who I'm really proud to say are part of my extended family. And all of you that are longtime listeners or even new listeners to the show, I want to welcome you to the Hana. And really, it's what it's all about. It's about me sharing information on tech and what's going on here in my life to all of you. And if you're new to the show, I want to make sure that you kind of know what you got in store for you. Every Tuesday and Friday morning, the show is released. I do record the show live now, as live as it can be, here in Honolulu, or if I'm on travel from some dark and danky hotel room when I'm on the road. But I do stream the show on Ustream, and then, of course, the show is put up probably about 12 hours after the audio files go online to both Blip TV and in Ustream. It's a new thing I'm doing here. So no matter how you like to listen to the show or watch, there's many avenues for you to check that out, and that's going to be expanding over time here. But primarily, hey, get subscribed to the show via iTunes, Zune Marketplace, or whatever your media consumption device of choice is. There's a variety of different plugins out there that will allow you to, and applications out there that will allow you to basically automatically get the show downloaded to that device. Listen to me or watch me when you are on a train, in a bus, in your car, however you may be getting to work or back and forth. Tune in, of course, twice weekly for our tech show, and I'll have lots of great content for you, again, along with a lot of interpersonal information as well. Hey, of course, want to encourage you as well to sign up for the show notes, because every show is accompanied with a complete newsletter of what is covered in the podcast. And we're going to be trying to expand upon the newsletter here in the near future. Going to be adding more depth to basically what has happened during the show. So get a little more detail. That's going to be a work in progress as I get that enacted. But that newsletter will arrive immediately following the show in your inbox. So no matter when you pick up the show, you'll always have all the links to all the articles and all the user submitted content. As always, if you want to submit something to the show or have a comment for me, you can do that by sending an email to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call the voicemail hotline at +1-619-342-7365. The voicemail hotline is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's where you can call in and talk about the show, talk about topics I've covered, pop me back if I've done something incorrectly or whatever, but look forward to hearing your feedback and your comments on the show. Of course, I want to thank the sponsors, as I do every beginning of every month. Really, this show and what I do in the new media space would not be possible without the sponsors of this show. You all know that GoDaddy has been with us now for 4.5 years, along with GoToMeeting. They've been a longtime supporters of the show, and really, you guys see the lights on here in the office. The lights are on because of them and allow really for me to put, I guess what you would call meat and potatoes on the table. So I want to thank those two sponsors for being continue to be here and supporting the show. And, of course, the main people are that you support. Those of you that support those sponsors, those of you that are out there that are buying the products and stuff, hey, a big thank you for your support during the month of October, and I hope that you'll continue to support us during the month of November in promoting the products with your friends, family members. Okay, let me get into what I've got cooked up for you today. The big survey is continuing. The big national survey, the big national podcast listener survey is still on its roll. We're going to be wrapping up, I think, in about another week. So if you have not yet participated, hey, there's a link in the show notes to it. Go over to the website. It takes you maybe less than 10 minutes. Fill out the survey. And what's happening is all of our podcasters over at blueberry.com, techpodcast.com, podcasternews.com, a large number of them are participating and having their listeners as well participate in the same exact survey. So if you've participated once from another show, you don't need to duplicate the action. They really only need to go through it once because we're compiling really this big national survey. Then we're going to provide that information in a big report. It's going to go with all the major podcasting companies. It's going to be combined together into an aggregate data that's going to be reported on the various news wires. And then we're going to take the information from our community and submit it back to our community members and give them that information so that they kind of have an idea what's going on with the national space and not necessarily their show, but an aggregate combining of all podcasts throughout the country. So we want to thank those of you that have already participated in that, and make sure that if you haven't, please go over and do that and definitely support the show here by doing filling out the survey. I've added a couple of writers to geeknewscentral.com, and you'll start to see their blog posts. I think Michael Dell posted a blog post up today on the website. Ryan Smith from the son of Mike Tech at the Mike Tech Show, he's going to be added as a contributing editor here. Haven't added him to the admin list yet, but got the information from him as well. And then we added one additional writer from the UK. This is our first UK writer, and he's going to be talking about UK perspective, talking a little bit about Apple products and so forth. So look forward to having those new contributors at Geek News Central contribute great content to the website. YouTube and Blip TV update. Well, really, you know, this is kind of a work in progress. And I put a note up on the website on Sunday, I guess, kind of talking about where I'm going with the show. And I guess I don't know if I described it in detail, but you guys know that I've invested heavily in equipment here to really get the audio flow and video flow down. The last step is the lighting portion. Matter of fact, on Thursday, I have a local Hawaii video expert that's going to be coming in. He's going to be bringing in essentially a mock-up of how the studio is going to be lit from here on out from follow-on shows. Probably not on the Thursday night show because we'll have to order whatever the mock-up ends up being. But a very, very significant cash outlay by me to get the lighting right in here, to get the video product to the quality level that I want it at, so far as, you know, lighting in the room. Right now, believe it or not, is this 12 by 12 room approximately is really the lighting for the show is with four fluorescent lights, and it's not good. As you guys that watch the Ustream video, you can tell that we're going to be making a major change here, getting the light right in the room, and making some changes as well. This weekend was a big, big effort by me to really work on camera positions. They're not perfect yet, but we'll probably be making some more changes as time goes on. And looking at the whole thing. Now, the video, reason I'm working on the video, the audio portion of the show is not going to change. That's going to remain priority number one. That will never, ever take second place to the video portion of the show. But I am a firm believer, as many others are, that the dynamics and way in which media is being consumed is going to really start to shift really in a bigger way in the next 24 months. We've already seen a big dynamic shift in the way people are consuming video and content on the internet, but it hasn't been readily accessible, easy, something that you know, really, there hasn't been it put to you or made available to you in a way that you can sit down at your in your couch with your remote control from your television set, watch whatever video you want to. I know there's initiatives on by all the major manufacturers to make their TV smart, in other words, network aware. There's lots of initiatives by companies like Roku and others to bring content to you via devices that you sit on your entertainment systems and basically plug into the internet. So I think what's going to happen here is this dynamic's going to shift, and my goal is to have this show ready to really move into that space as much as possible and reach that audience that I'm not reaching now. Now, how many of them are going to watch me for an hour and 15 minutes? Well, that's yet to be seen. But I am going to be introducing here in the next few weeks, my kids are going to start running the behind-the-scenes switcher, flipping in video segments and so forth. So the video portion of the show is going to get a major revamp as far as the overall production level, and it won't be just me sitting here with a switcher. Now, we're still going to work through the dynamics of that to make sure that it's not affecting school time and bedtime and all this other stuff. We're going to have to really look at the publishing time of the show and a whole bunch of other factors that go along with it. If it turns out, though, that this space that I'm currently shooting in does not work out and that the angles aren't right and everything else is, and if I'm not happy with the end product, my wife has basically already started clearing the garage. And it is going to be available for me to move into. And we had a general contractor in, and he's pricing me out what it's going to take to enclose that space and maybe make the move to a much, much bigger room, something that would have a little more depth and where we'd have a lot better control of the overall atmosphere and be able to, you know, no windows. And that, you know, right now there's windows in several places in this room, and I have to mask that. And in the video shots and stuff, because I shoot at night, and it looks funny with a window there. So anyway, working on that. And again, this is just take this step by step and see how it goes, and then we'll go from there. And you guys will kind of watch, you follow along with me and see how this all works out. A little bit about what's going on here. Hey, local tech conference called TechNet is in town. It's kind of a holdover. When I was still in the military, we would go to TechNet. It's mostly governmental. You got Lockheed, Boeing, all the major tech companies are going to be there. I mean, the super tech companies. And I always love going to that event to see what's going on new in technology as far as the government side goes. So I'll be going over into that tomorrow, spending probably 4 or 5 hours over there talking with vendors. So maybe I'll have something to share with you on that front on the show for Friday. Along with that, just kind of give you an update. Many of you have been asking me what's going on with the Sherry cast. The Sherry cast is not dead. Just Todd and Sherry have not had time to put together a show. It's been crazy busy for both of us, but we're going to try to get one knocked out this weekend. Everything's going good here with my family. My kids are really, my daughter, my 12-year-old, my 13-year-old, they are. The son's playing a cello, my daughter's playing a violin, and it's really kind of amazing to see them work together because the music in their classes are almost the same. So they're playing together, which is improving their musical skills dramatically because they can sit here and go in their bedroom, and they were practicing just before I started the show tonight. And my wife was yelling at them another 15 minutes, and then so maybe you'll hear a little background noise on that. But it's been interesting to watch them develop their skills, their musical skills. I'm jealous because I don't play a musical instrument, but I'm glad that they are. Now my younger son, he is going to be starting an ukulele and playing that soon. So looking forward to him getting involved as well. My wife, I don't know if I talked about it or not, but my lovely wife picked up a part-time job just because the kids have gotten to that stage where they're out of the house. And really, she kind of was wanting a little more adult stimulation than what I was providing. I guess from a perspective of ladies, I'm sure she's been a stay-at-home mom, and that is a job that believe me, I would not. That is job enough. It really is. It's I've always said that if I was left to my own devices, the kids would be taped up against the wall, you know. But Just joking, but you know, I think the fellows will agree with me. There's some of us are destined to do that well, and some of us are destined not to do it so well, and I'm probably in that later category. But now that the kids are all in school, she's been working part-time and enjoying that, getting a little social stimulation and getting out. It's good for her, and I'm happy. She's happy. I'm happy. You know how that works, fellas, right? Okay, so what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to run a little contest, and we're going to do this next week on Tuesday. We're going to give away a prize, and for those of you that have watched the video or one of the videos, I want you to take in mind we're going to fix the lighting, but otherwise I want you to go through and look at the actual content and kind of how we're doing things, and you know, use a critical eye and send me a comment on what you think I can do with the video portion of the show better. And what you don't like, just tell me what you absolutely hate and what I should change. And that's how we've always built the audio portion of the show, right? Based on your guys' feedback. Well, we're going to give away a cash prize. The suggestion that I take on board and change immediately will win, okay? So watch the video. You can find the links to both YouTube and Blip and have them on the show notes. Check it out and submit your ideas to geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com, or call the voicemail hotline. You can do it there as well, +1 619-342-7365. Okay, let's do the official sponsor mentions, and then we'll get into the regular content. Running a little long here already on just me jibber-jabbering. You know, if you have business contacts in L.A. or New York and you're on the other side of the country, really, it costs a lot of money to get on an airplane and go see those folks, right? Or even if you just have to get in your car and drive across town to meet with a client and show him a business perspective or something, it doesn't make a lot of sense in these tough economic times to do that. That's why I want you to use GoToMeeting to hold online meetings. Brought to you by Citrix, GoToMeeting is the easiest online meeting service available. Really, everyone logs into the GoToMeeting.com website, and when they do, they put in your little code. They can see your computer on their desktop. So it's just like meeting in person, except you don't have to get out of the, you know, don't have to get out of the office or drive anywhere. And you can use the voice IP application. You don't even have to pick up a telephone. You can get a free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting. That's a month of unlimited online meetings free. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast with an S for a free trial. And appreciate those of you that do. Check it out and see if the application will work for you and your business and save yourself some cash, time, and money. Of course, GoDaddy.com, hey, that's the place. That's the place to pick up domain names, dedicated servers, virtual dedicated servers. If you're going to have an online presence, it needs to be at GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's been a longtime sponsor here of the show. All of my websites are on GoDaddy servers. You've seen, knock on wood, of course, I'm going to mention this and something will happen, but you've seen the reliability of the Geek News Central website and the speed that it loads. Hey, can't get a better hosting service than GoDaddy.com or domain names. You know, I have well over 200 domains that I manage now through their service, SSL certificates as well. And the best thing is when you go over and pick up that GoDaddy product, you know what you get to use? You get to use my promo codes, and there's a link to it on the website. You can pick out the one that will fit your purchase the best. Some ones that you can think about using is that Todd code, T-O-D-D, save 10%. Geek 5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. ComSale will save you money on .com renewals and .com purchases. Of course, that Todd 20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. And that one really helps us out a lot, folks, when you guys use that Todd 20 code with a one-year shared hosting account. So get over to GoDaddy.com, check out their products and services. And while they have a lot of extras that you can get, really, the domain names, the servers, the hosting accounts, really, those are the main products over there that all of you are really excited about and I'm excited about. And thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at GNC. Okay, let me look at my little list here to make sure I have gotten everything done. And yeah, I think so. Oh, I'm still looking for a flash media server expert. So that's the only thing. That's the only thing that's left over from the last show. We didn't get any feedback, so I don't know if we've got anyone in the audience that does that. I've got a number of you to follow up on some projects that I have planned. At the end of the show today, I've got some email comments to go over. And I don't think anything came into the voicemail hotline. So hopefully we'll have some comments at a later date. So geeknews@gmail.com, of course, for email comments. And then if you have a comment that you want to leave a voicemail on, +1-619-342-7365. All right, let's get right into the content here. Hey, let's talk about an article that's over on Ars Technica right off the bat. Congress is going to lock radio station representatives and record labels into a boardroom within Capitol Hill, and they're going to throw away the key and tell them that they have to come to an agreement. The Performance Rights Act, which is before Congress and the House of Representatives, is essentially missing one element: how much radio broadcasters are going to have to pay the for performance rights. Currently, unlike internet streaming or someone that is doing like Sirius or XM, they don't have to pay. I mean, right now they pay a performance right. Right now, traditional radio broadcasts on AM/FM, they do not pay a performance right, and they don't want to pay a performance right. I'm sure if you've listened to any of the actual any actual terrestrial radio recently, you will have heard some of their advertisements talking exactly about this topic, and they've been pretty you need to call Congress, or this radio station's ability to bring first-rate performance is going to, you hear this thing. It's just, comes across as almost like this public service announcement, but it really isn't. It's basically they're scared to death that they're going to have to pay a performance rights to the music associations. So Congress has said, hey, you've got until December 1st. Get in that room. We're throwing away the key. Duke it out. Come up with a plan, because when you do, and we're going to require you to come to some sort of an agreement, we're going to write that into the bill, and we're going to stamp it approved, and legislation would be passed. So interesting move by Congress on this. We'll see how long these guys can be in an office or a conference room together without strangling each other. But Congress did say, one thing I thought was kind of funny here, is it said only those with decision-making authority need to be in those rooms. Basically, two organizations, the NAB and some other music industry group. So we'll watch. I'm sure this is going to be fun. It's nice to see terrestrial radio in the essentially in the same boat that the internet streaming people were. Remember how we're fighting against these added fees and all the terrestrial folks are sitting back like, ha 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 ha. They're getting theirs now, folks. They really, really are. A long time overdue. All right, let's talk about Black Friday. It's November. Thanksgiving is just really right around the corner. And we know Black Friday is where the tech deals are at, right? And so it's the biggest online shopping day is the Monday following Thanksgiving. So while you guys are going to be rushing the stores on Friday, don't forget that follow on Monday is a big day for those of us that shop online. So over the next several weeks, I'm going to be trying to bring to you at Geek News Central as many of the Black Friday deals as I can find, along with the after day, the Monday following sales, so that you know where to really get the best stuff. And you'll have your game plan down. Now, right now it's tight out there. Many of you are without work. Many of you are either working reduced hours or taking furlough days, whatever it may be. Many people are not going to be getting raises this year. Really, it's a tough gig right now. So the deals are where it's going to be at, because, why pay full retail when you can get something discounted? So I'll have all kinds of Thanksgiving Day specials, Black Friday early bird specials. I'm going to have Saturday early bird specials along with the Monday stuff. So be prepared. We're going to try to inundate you with as much information as we can. And I'm going to start off tonight by giving you some links to some sites that are going to be providing you some good information. So I'll have that up for you in the show notes as well. Talk a little bit about an article over on eWeek. Symantec has uncovered a Trojan scheme using Facebook. Now, I had a guy at the office, in the office today with me, and we were looking over some things. And what we were really looking at, I'll be honest with you, were Halloween 2009 pictures of Waikiki. Because on Halloween in Waikiki, everyone comes downtown dressed up. Well, at least many adults do. And it gets pretty weird. So we're looking at Flickr pictures and stuff, and we were, you know, using Google to find different links. And we clicked on a link that basically took us to a site that was a site that basically was understanding people were going to be looking for this information today. And it was one of those sites that tried to give me a, you know, load some spyware onto my computer. So we kind of looked at each other and, you know, aha, we laughed about it because, you know, we both knew what to do to shut the PC down or shut the browser down. But it turns out that what Symantec has found on Facebook is basically the Facebook account is being used as a command and control server for bots that are out there. Now, we've seen this with different services before. The Trojan malware known to Symantec is called Whitewell, and it's being spread via email through documents, PDF, or Microsoft Office formats. How many of you have gotten emails recently that says, such and such, and it's got a, looks like an Office doc at the bottom, or a PDF? If you don't know who those emails are coming from, stay away from those files. Delete those emails, because they're loaded. They are loaded with a payload that you do not want on your machine. But we'll see how Facebook responds to this. But just goes to show you, these guys continue to be sneakier and sneakier in how they're controlling their bots and distributing malware and Trojans to people's computers. All right, over on Bing, if you're an NFL fan, or if you fly a lot like I do, Microsoft has added new features to its search engine that will, with an eye towards matching Google. So the new features of the mobile version of Bing Search allows you to basically get up-to-date real-time NFL scores and airline flight information. They also added a version of Bing that offers greater support for high-resolution touchscreen devices like the iPhone. So if you've been over to Bing in the last week or so, maybe you'll want to go back and take a relook at Bing.com to see what they've got cooking over there. I'm not necessarily a football fan looking for football scores, but I definitely am a big fan on finding out flight information. So this is a new feature by Bing provided to me here by Information Week. Hey, over on Slashdot, boy, oh boy, the Pirate Bay continues to be under attack. But what they have found, you know, I talked about in the last show that, you know, I had assumed that the number of peer-to-peer sites had increased since really the Pirate Bay was basically under such a fierce attack. There's been an estimated, check this out, an estimated 300% increase in the number of sites providing access to copyright files since this whole ruckus started with the Pirate Bay and them trying to shut them down and get those guys that are supposedly, quote-unquote, running it to, you know, taking him to court, put him in jail. You know, you're going to face fines. Matter of fact, Sweden is continuing to say, if you don't shut this down, you're going to face like $70,000 worth of fines a day for running the site up, even though the defendants that they've named are no longer living in Sweden, as we talked about in the last show. The Pirate Bay, I would almost bet, will not exist much longer. But they're already an estimated 300% increase in the number of sites that are providing access to copyright files. So, hey, the beat keeps rolling, right? Things keep moving on. Hey, this is real cool news out of Japan, and actually Google. Google has teamed up to lay a 6,200-mile-long Unity fiber cable. It's funded by Google and five Eastern Asian communication companies. So here you got Google that's going to pay for 3,100 miles of the fiber. And you got five East Asian communication companies that are going to pay for the other 3,100. And they're going to meet in the middle, of course, and get this thing hooked up. And it's going to provide a estimated 7.68 terabytes per second in capacity, but they're going to set the capacity limit at about 4.8 terabytes initially, and this is going to increase the traffic capacity between Japan and the United States by over 20%, So that's a huge, huge boost. A boost. And you know who owns it? Google and these five other countries, or five other companies. It's big. You know, 300 million. It's getting cheaper to lay fiber. You know, when I was living in Guam, I remember that they brought a fiber in. Guam is connected via Hawaii. So fibers from San Francisco or somewhere on the East Coast, West Coast, comes to Hawaii, deadheads here, and then it respikes out and goes back to Guam. And I remember really had a buddy who was basically in charge of where that fiber was going to come into to the beachhead in Guam. And I got to go in the building when the fiber actually came in and got to see that whole tie-off process, which was pretty cool. But that was like $1 billion at the time, not 300 million. So the price to lay fiber optic cable has come down. Now, what they had to do with this cable that ran from Honolulu to Guam was that between here and there is the Marianas Trench. Well, you can't lay the fiber in the Marianas Trench. So what they do is they actually lay the cable on the mountain ridges of the Marianas Trench. And even more amazingly, it's buried. That's right. You heard me correctly. The cable's actually buried. And if you think about that, that's huge. It's just amazing. Now, every once in a while, those cables get damaged, have to be repaired, or a repeater goes bad or something like that. And they basically drop hooks, hook the cable, and bring it back up. And there's a ship in the middle. It takes three ships to fix these cables. Pretty amazing sight to see. But see this fiber optic cable going in between Japan and the United States. I think we're going to see more of this. Hey, those of you that are Pepsi drinkers, well, Pepsi told today to pay over $1 billion for stealing the idea for bottled water. Huh. It appears the two individuals in 1981 came up with the idea to have bottled water. And they approached Pepsi, and Pepsi didn't enact on it. And they say Pepsi stole their trade secret when it launched the bottled water line Aquafina. Now, that was in the mid-90s when they launched Aquafina. So these guys went and seen Pepsi in 81. So like 14 years goes by before Pepsi does anything. Well, apparently what has happened, there was a default judgment against Pepsi because they didn't even show up to court. The $1.26 billion is, I guess, a little bit of a joke here. It's a default judgment because a Pepsi secretary forgot to pass on the letter alarming them of the lawsuit. bottled water is silly enough as it is, but $1.26 billion to the folks that said they own the idea in 81, I'm sure that's going to be appealed. And we'll see what happens with it as it goes on. Hey, this is kind of a financial thing for those of you that are out there that are a part of small companies that do less than $75 million a year in revenue. If you're a public company and you do less than $75 million, I'm glad, first of all, I'm glad you're listening to the show. We need you small businesses out there. But many of you are really facing some heavy, heavy reporting so far as the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. It looks like the feds and the administration is looking to give some release to small businesses and the Sarbanes-Oxley reporting. So we'll see what happens there. I think at this time, the way companies have been acting in the space, many of these big companies, investment firms, everything like that, I don't know if this is a time to start relaxing reporting stuff, especially when it comes with investment and SEC stuff. But that's what they're proposing. We will see what happens. I know this is non-techie, but I kind of thought, boy, we didn't allow reporting by financial institutions, and look where we're at now. And now we're going to tell all these companies they don't have to anyway, I'll shut up. All right, over on Ace Adulterer's website at weblogs.mozillazine.org/ASA, is Google playing dirty with logos? A Google search for Firefox 3.6 beta offers this helpful result. There is a Chrome logo next to the search result. So you've got the Chrome logo. Then you've got right beside that, Mozilla releases Firefox 3.6 beta 1. Yet if you click on the Chrome logo, it takes you somewhere else. I think Google's playing dirty. That just should not be allowed. Is Google, is that being a nice community person? I don't think so. But anyway, the folks over there at Mozilla are calling Google out. We'll see if that changes. Here, over on GearDiary.com, if you have an iPhone and you go over to Adobe's website at get.adobe.com and try to pick up a Flash player, of course, you already know, those of us that have iPhones know that Flash doesn't work on the iPhone because a good old Apple has decided not to play nice with Adobe. But Adobe now has a nice message for those that don't have a clue. It says, Adobe Flash player not available for your device. Apple restricts use of technologies required by products like Flash player. Until Apple eliminates these restrictions, Adobe cannot provide Flash player for the iPhone or iPod Touch. And it's just this message that comes up. I applaud Adobe for getting the non-educated folks that are using iPhones educated on this matter because, you know, I get people say all the time, I can't watch a video. How come I can't watch a video on iPhone? Like, Flash doesn't work. What's Flash? They don't even know what Flash is. And it really is probably one of the things that spoils part of the good experience of the iPhone. And, of course, Apple continues to basically poo-poo the folks over there at Adobe. Will it ever change? That's probably yet to be seen. All right, Apple is pitching the major TV networks. They want to provide TV service for iTunes for the price of $30 a month. Apple is shopping around a subscription service to TV networks, and this is coming off the Engadget website, that would give iTunes users a catch-all subscription for $30 a month. Now, no one's on board yet, according to this rumor, but it appears that Disney and some other groups that have a cozy relationship with Apple may be warming up to exactly that. I updated my Apple TV over the, yesterday. I was playing with my Roku. I was playing with the Apple TV. I was playing my Vudu box. And those of you that have a Vudu box, you've been playing with Vudu Labs. Pretty cool stuff that they're doing there. You can see where everything's headed. It's just so obvious. I don't know if I completely like the new Apple TV interface, but one thing that I will say, that if I could pay $30 to Apple to get all of the TV that I get right now, that would be very, very compelling. It would really have to make me sit up and think, but you know, the cable networks are not going to lay down on this. We'll have to see what happens here. Now, the Apple tablet comes out. They got to have content for it, right? The Apple TV, obviously, is kind of like the product that really hasn't gotten too far with Apple. Could be some, you know, way to see some increased sales there. My Apple TV, the thing I hate about it was the first gen one. And the only thing I don't, that drives me crazy, it's a 40 gig one. And it, you know, it doesn't hold half of what I want it to hold. But I'm not going to update until they, you know, they decide to figure out what they're going to completely do with that box. You know what my kids use it for? Watching YouTube videos. With parental supervision, of course. Hey, let's talk about Sprint. Sprint has lit up WiMAX in North Carolina, Chicago, and Dallas. And they've got a mini subsidized Mini 10 available with WiMAX capability. It looks like that San Antonio, Austin, and Honolulu are going to be, and Maui are going to get lit up before the end of 2010. Matter of fact, I know some general contractors here in Hawaii. They're putting towers up for not only, well, it's Sprint slash Clear, and I know that this is fast approaching because of the timelines that they have to get the towers up. But I'm excited to see what's going to happen with WiMAX. I'm just wondering, any of you in these markets, I've got a Sprint eVideo card already. Do they have a Sprint eVideo slash WiMAX card? Is it that you can get both? I'm going to have to investigate that. I'm sure they do. But you can almost be absolutely guaranteed that I'm going to be upgrading Can't wait for that faster speed. Really can't. Things are changing, folks, very, very quickly. Yes, they are. As far as speed available when you're mobile, wherever you may be trying to get internet service, it's I was streaming my show on the road through an EVDO card. Now it uses 250 gigs an hour to do that. But not 250 gigs, 250 megs an hour to do that. But hey, when you're dealing in a hotel and the speed's slow, definitely worth it. All right, let's talk about Wintel or Windows version 7 and the iPhone. If you have a new Windows machine with a P55 chip and certain motherboards, you may have found out already that your iPhone won't sync. And there's nothing at this point to do. There is a bug there, and it's nothing that's going to change anytime soon. So this is a well-known bug on the Apple forums. So hopefully the folks at Apple will get this figured out, or someone will, and you guys will be able to sync from Windows 7 via iTunes if you're running an Intel P55 to get your iPhone up to date. So if you can't sync, you know what that means. You really can't get updated podcasts and so forth, which is bad, and any other new content that you're looking to jump on there. Okay, that was over on Register. Telegraph.co.uk. I just got to share this with you. You know, I spent 24 years in the Navy. I flew my entire time. Of course, I was on P3s. I wasn't as a back-end guy, sitting in the back and did stuff. But I read a story about this guy that flew in a Air Force display plane down, I guess, in South Africa. He went for a joyride with a experienced pilot, and what he decided to hang on to while they were in doing some high pitch maneuvers and so forth was the ejection handle. And this idiot pulled the ejection handle trying to brace himself during a high performance turn. In return, he got a very high performance departure from the aircraft. Whoa, my goodness. Now, when I was stationed in Lemoore, we had the opportunity they have a two-seater FA-18s there. And I was lucky enough to get a number of hours in a two-seater FA-18 trainer aircraft. And, of course, you know, that was the thing. When you get in the aircraft, you're getting strapped in. You know, that ejection handle is like the plague. You don't even think about putting even a finger on it. You keep your hands away from it. Actually, it's up here on the FA-18. So, but you know, you know, can you imagine this? I can imagine this guy's eyeballs about popped out of his head. Not to mention he's probably about a foot shorter. Okay. Oh, I just had to share that with you guys. All right, over on CNET. They got some pretty cool pictures inside Microsoft's new massive data center in Chicago. It's in a nondescript area in and around the Chicago area that has, I'm assuming here, because they're using so much water for this place, it's pretty close to a water source. So maybe that would be, where is a commercial district close to Lake Michigan? I'm sure that's probably where they're getting the water for this thing. But it's the pictures that they provided are pretty amazing here. They don't tell where it's at, but they go in the data center and show just an amazing number of pictures. And that's what I wanted to share with you guys. And I'd love to get a tour of one of these things just for the geek factor of walking through and having one's jaw hang wide open. And in other words, looking at the money, of course, being spent at those racks and thousands upon thousands of servers. And it's a pretty good article here by the folks over at CNET. And, of course, they're using some of those trailers. They have a second floor with thousands upon thousands of servers and racks. And it's pretty cool. So I'll have a link up in the show notes, and you can check that out. Hey, you know, I've got, let's see here. I've got a Dell monitor, HP computer. The machine down there is an older HP. I have a Dell laptop in my bag that I travel with. You know, we've all sent computer. Most of us have probably sent a computer or two in for repair. you know, maybe your laptop goes bad, needs to have the motherboard fixed or a monitor or something like that. So when you send your computer in, what do you expect? You expect to get your computer back, right? Well, a gentleman sent his Dell laptop in to be fixed by Dell support. It was a Dell Studio 1537, which is a pretty big laptop, and had a DVD drive that was causing some troubles as well. And he got a, the response message saying, yes, I have, your machine's on its way back from repair. And when he opened the box, inside was a refurbished hard drive. This guy's laptop probably went to someone else. And so he has spent a massive amount of time on the phone with Dell customer support trying to figure out where his laptop was. He's talked to 7 different people who transferred him between technical support, customer service, and back to techno support. And after 90 minutes of phone calls, hold music, and redialing, he's stuck with a 250 gig hard drive and no laptop. And he's saying, who do I call for help? Can you imagine sending your laptop in and getting a hard drive back? Hey, that sounds like an even trade, right? All right. How many of you have bought one of those? Basically, it's called a Femtel cell, F-E-M-T-O cells. It's basically, it connects into your broadband connection at your home, and it allows your phone to essentially communicate to the outside world through that device and through your internet provider. It's a base station. It's generally used to improve cellular coverage, not only for you, but anyone driving by. Well, apparently, unknown to a lot of people, that when you're on a Fem2Cell micro base station, when you are actually surfing the internet with your phone and you're going through that device, you're still getting charged for bandwidth to actually go through the device. You're probably paying rental for the device, to actually have the device as a base station. And I thought to myself, who in their right mind would pay a monthly fee or buy equipment in order to help carriers improve their networks when they are still charging you for the bandwidth used through the device and making you pay a monthly fee for the thing? Please, please tell me, someone in this audience has got to have one of these. Do you have a Samsung CDMA Femtel cell? Please tell me what you're getting out of it. Please tell me that what I'm reading is not true. I'm getting this information over at GigaOhm. The link will be up in the show notes. But I can't imagine buying a device, plugging it into my internet. My neighbors can use it for backhaul. I can use it for backhaul. And yet I'm still paying for the bandwidth that I use out of my phone because of that device and get charged minutes as well. Wi-Fi is where it's at, folks. This whole business of this extended carrier stuff is for the birds. We need to have our phones fully functional when we're on our own Wi-Fi connection. All right, report out of Hulu is that they are very, very close to basically making you pay for the content on that network. How many of you are using Hulu right now? If they turn the pay switch on, we'll pay. They're under great pressure because the ads that they're running on the Hulu network, I guess, is not paying all the bills. So I'd love to hear from you guys. Let me know what's going on as far as, whether or not you would pay for Hulu. I think I've been to the site once. So pay switch is about to be turned on. That's rumor control. All right, another update from Scoble. TechMe versus Twitter list, an update here. This is pretty cool. I get some of the information from the show from TechMeme twice a week, maybe one or two articles I normally scan back a day or so. Scoble is, I must admit, his new tech list is pretty good. Now, I haven't been able to figure out how to get a full, basically Google Reader does not update soon enough to keep all of those threads, but he's got 492 news sources in that tech news list. And if you're following that and able to capture that, there's a lot of great information there. It kind of mimics some of the stuff that's going on over on TechMeme. And I don't know if it's gotten to the point where it will make it easier for me to prepare for this show, but it just does show that news is crunched up in multiple different ways. Let me do a little refresh on his list here. I've got it loaded up right now on a separate page. And let me just tell you what some. And here we are. It's almost 9 o'clock Hawaiian time. And a couple of things that came up here was talking about lawsuits against Barnes & Noble, about the Nook, a little information about the Sony Ericsson Xperia X10 and how it's just been announced. Apparently as well, I got an email from a Ford representative today. There's going to be a big announcement by Ford on Thursday. I'll bring you the details on the website when I get the information on it, but a big press release on some new safety features for Ford. Just had to remember that while I was looking at this. But Scoble's got a pretty good tech news brand's individual list on Twitter. I have a link up to that in the show notes as well. Hey, Cisco, here we go again, folks. Cisco's going to has bought a Chinese set-top box business. Now, what am I talking about, set-top box? Well, many of you have cable boxes on your entertainment centers. Maybe you have a Voodoo box. But this manufacturer has a box that is basically digitizing. It'll deliver television all digital through the device. And it's primarily what's being deployed in China. Cisco sees a business in set-top boxes as dovetailing with its sales of network products. The company aims for its new alliance to customers an end-to-end product lineup from the shift from, get this, digital broadcast to interactive TV services. Does interactive TV services mean me on interactive TV? I don't know. Or other new media sources? Maybe. Time will tell. Information on that from itworld.com. Hey, how many of you have got one of those portable battery-powered USB chargers where you can stick a USB device in and it'll charge up? Many of you probably have them for a cell phone or cameras. You know, you can build your own. I mean, this thing is as easy as it's going to get. And I found this over on Crunch Gear via Gizmodo. All it is you plug a 9-volt battery into a standard 9-volt battery plug. You have a little thermistor there, and it basically regulates the power going to your USB device. This is pretty straightforward stuff. It's 1, 2, 3, 4 wires to solder and a USB plug, and you can build your own. So for the do-it-yourselfers, this is a great little project, great one for the kids to participate with as well. All right, got a good article on masternewmedia.org, Robin Good's website. Video editing software comparison guide to the best consumer video editors under $100. And he's got a great article here. And this really lists a full line of video editing applications and their comparisons, what they can and cannot do. Have this link up and available in the show notes. So if you're looking for some video editing software to, you know, basically spice up those moments that you capture over the holidays, upcoming holidays, this is the place to start. How many of you still watch 60 Minutes? I don't think I've watched an episode of 60 Minutes, a CBS documentary, or actually they used to have lots of great reporting on that show. But 60 Minutes, 31 years ago, 1978, put an episode together about the awful threat of video piracy to the music industry in relation to, as you may remember, those of you that were around when the VCR was introduced, and how the VCR was going to destroy the movie business because anyone could copy and watch a movie in the privacy of their own home. Okay, we're going to fast forward here 31 years. CBS 60 Minutes, as again, made itself more kind of to be a laughingstock than usual in its investigative reporting, and they put out an episode on video piracy. And everything that they covered during that segment was about 100% MPAA propaganda. They did very little fact-checking. They had no one on to challenge any of the MPAA-connected speakers. There was no counterpoint. And from what I've seen of the episode, it was jaw-dropping for me. And it really, here we are, 31 years fast forward, when the MBAA and the video industry said the VCR is going to destroy, you know, our business. And here we are again, where they're talking about video piracy is going to destroy the movie industry. Now, there was a report out. I don't have a link to it in the show notes. Another study that shows that peer-to-peer users, ones that are out there downloading music, are the biggest spenders of online music. So go figure here. Hey, little news on Google Voice. Google search by voice travels the world, finds the Nokia, and learns Chinese. So if you have a Nokia S60 phone, an N95, or an E71, and if you speak Mandarin Chinese, they have an app for that now. And actually not an app, but you can go to the website online, and it will do Google. You can do search by voice. So this is kind of a cool addition to this. Why they picked Mandarin, I don't know, but as the next language introduced, but that is what's available. And but you know, up until now, a voice search has only been available in English. So this is new for Chinese speakers. So keep you advised on that. We'll see how many more languages they roll out here. All right, do-it-yourself iPhone apps. Man, this is something I've been studying for a long time. And really, I'm at the point where I've decided on exactly what kind of apps that I want to build personally for Geek News Central. And I'm really trying to figure out where I'm going to spend my money and with whom. And there's a great article for any of you that are looking to do a iPhone app or even do it one yourself. There's a good article on Business Week about the topic. Being that I don't have enough time as it is now, it looks like you can get iPhone apps now built for about $1,000 if you want to pay that much for one, or you can build yourself from a lot of the do-it-yourself websites, and you have to pay a monthly subscription fee and so forth. But anyway, how many of you had an iPhone app built, and who did you have build it? Do you recommend anybody? Did you do any of your do-it-yourself sites? Do you pay a monthly fee for them to maintain the app? Love to hear from some of you that have went through an iPhone app process. Tell me about your experience. Love to hear about it. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline, +1-619-342-7365. Hey, we're on Download Squad. There's a news out today about Feed Demon. Nick Bradbury, my good friend, apparently is now 100% in charge of Feed Demon. I didn't know that he wasn't in the past, but somehow the financial relationship between NewsGator and Feed Demon and Nick have diverged somehow. He says Feed Demon is now his sole source his sole source of income. Sole focus and sole source of income. So while NewsGator owns Feed Demon, Bradbury works on Feed Demon and gets paid for anything that it generates. So, hey, Nick, I'm going to go out there and update Feed Demon. I'm going to buy the latest edition, the latest ad-free version. And glad to see that there's been a little change here. Hope this is for the positive for you. I don't know the full circumstances of this, but definitely want to support you financially any way I can. And thanks for continuing to have a great product here. Let's talk about Google a little bit more. And I read an amazing article about disruption of Google and what Google's causing to companies around the world. We talked a little bit about this on the last show about the new Google Map or the new Google Navigator available for Android phones. You may or may not know the history, but what happened was, and Google initially paid a premium to, I believe, Navtech and TeleAtlas to license their map data. Recently, Google disconnected from TeleAtlas and began to offer maps that were free and clear of either Navtech's or their licensing agreement. The result was basically they had cars on the road developing their own database. And so what happened here is Google built up this huge following of people using Google Maps, using it as a source to get information from point to point, running the data source from TeleAtlas and Navtech. All the while, in the background, going driving around with vehicles all over the country, building up their own databases. And now they have, of course, released this free navigation feature, which has dealt a crushing blow to GPS stocks. Garmin fell 16%. TomTom fell 21%. All the companies in the space are down big time. And what they've done is they've made this open. Basically, anyone can come in behind now and build an application that taps into the Google Map data without paying this fee. And where these companies made most of their money before, Navtech and TeleAtlas was by these exorbitant fees that they paid for this walled garden of data. You know, they controlled it. It was their data, so they could pay, they could charge people a hefty fee for this. These companies are in trouble in a big, big, big way. I predict the news will not be good quarter after quarter from here on out for these multi-billion dollar GPS companies, or actually the multi-billion dollar GPS map or map data companies, whereas the GPS market really has no other choice but really to go to the Android and to the Google Map base because of the licensing. Unless these companies come down way, way down on their licensing, it would be foolish for RIM or Apple or any other company to spend all that money and license this data that can be essentially gotten from free for now for Google. This is huge. So we'll see what happens here. But I think we could see antitrust lawsuits. This could turn ugly before it's all over because these folks' businesses are absolutely unequivocally, they're in trouble. And if you had any stock in those companies, oh, man, you know, here's Garmin. Went from 39 down to $32, you know, on a single day. You know, huge, huge drop. And so we'll see. Google continues to find the less than free business model. You know, and Google will be able to sell ads to those maps. Businesses are going to have to buy advertising, so when people are driving by the store, they know that there's a restaurant or a market or a drugstore or whatever it may be. And Google is really, they've got their act together on this one. All right, I didn't even know this was possible. This next story completely blows me away. I thought I was up to speed on exactly what was going on in the hackerspace and some of the things that were going on, but this one here, folks, I mean, it really missed me. A hacker's been charged in a $1 million cable ISP customer cloning scheme. He used MAC address spoofing to essentially get people access to the internet via Comcast network for free. Federal prosecutors have charged a California man with earning over $1 million over a six-year period by illegally selling products that allowed customers to get high-speed internet service for free. This 26-year-old sold software and hardware that were designed to fool Charter Communications and other internet service providers into believing the gear belonged to a paying customer. And the prosecutors allege that Harris and his employees also offer technical support in publicly available chat rooms, did little to hide what they were doing, and even wrote a book on essentially how to hack cable modems. And really, I think what brought attention to this guy, excuse me, was that an individual using the service did a massive denial of service attack, a teenager, in fact, and that may have led back to figuring out how this kid pulled this off and how they weren't able to track this individual because he wasn't officially hooked up to the Comcast network. So a 14-page indictment. This individual got six felony counts, including conspiracy, computer intrusion, and wire fraud. And if convicted, he faces a maximum of 20 years in prison, $1.5 million in fines, and of course, an order to pay restitution. Can't do the crime. Can't do the time. Don't do the crime. So we'll see what happens with this guy. But what are they, you know, are they going to go after? Now that the feds have basically charged this guy, that means they're going to probably go in behind. And if you've been on the internet for free, here's my advice. you better burn that stuff. Because the next people they're going after are those folks that are on there illegally. Wow, I didn't even know. I didn't even hear any rumor of any of that type of stuff. So it's huge, huge, huge. All right, HDV, in other words, the H2 transfer vehicle that that Japan launched was removed from its docking port on the station's Harmony module by the station's, this is over on the International Space Station, got ahead of myself. It's fired its thrusters to move away from the station, and on Sunday, the garbage-filled shipping container, essentially, is going to be deorbited in a destructive reentry over the Pacific Ocean on Sunday. So we'll burn up the garbage on reentry. But I guess this can's full of garbage and headed out. It brought up like 4,500 pounds of stuff. So can you imagine 4,500 pounds of garbage in that thing? It's got to stink. It really does. Okay, last article of the night. Hey, do you do WordPress sites? Do you build templates? Do you need a WordPress visual cheat sheet? I've got one for you. I got a link to it. It's a PDF file. It's on workup.com. Cool list. This is a great way for those of you that do template designs or those of you that want to modify your template a little bit. You can get all the template tags and all the cheat sheets from it. So this is a good one. Have a link up in the show notes. Okay. I got some email to go through here. Hey, geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. Voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. Okay, let me go ahead and get into the email. And no voicemail love tonight again. I do want to thank Jim. He sent me an email. Said, hey, it sent me a link to the – how many of you – let me back up. How many of you been in an Apple store and looked at the floors? Those floors are stone. And – they're mined from a quarry in Italy, precision cut into individual pieces, and then shipped into crates to new Apple stores around the world. I've got a link to this. So if you want to know what you're walking on in the Apple store, you're walking on stone that was quarried out of Italy. Now, here's a question for Apple. Don't we have any quarries in the United States that could provide that stone for you? Not against anything about my Italian listeners, but come on, Apple. I guess we don't. So it must be that's where the best stone is. Anyway, thanks, Jim, for sending that over. Got an email from Andrew. Hey, Tad, hope all's well. I listened to your thoughts on the Kindle and thought you might like to share this article with your audience. And it's an article from bottomlinesecrets.com. It's about the Kindle. It's an overview of ebook readers and services. Thanks, Andrew, for sending that over. Great link as always. This is a good one, folks. So you definitely want to check that out. He got an email from Greg. He said, hey, Todd, I saw this and thought of you. I know you're in both spaces, but I found this funny nonetheless. And the bumper sticker says, and then Greg's in Austin, Texas. It says, my podcast beat up your blog. What that bumper sticker should say, blog louder through podcasting. So my podcast beat up your blog. That was good, Craig. It's really good. Hey, this podcast would be nothing if I had not been blogging to begin with. So, you know, I understand the value in blogging. I know I'm in both spaces. So thanks for your recognition of that. Okay, got an email from DT. Actually, Danny in the UK, he said, hey, Todd, and this is about we talked about EC2 and cloud computing and how I talked about their biggest instance or computer instance that they make available on EC2 is a 36-core computer. Well, Danny says, hey, Todd, I would bet consumers would get 36-core, 60-gig RAM PCs before we get bandwidth to push HD content to the cloud in the UK or US. Nice idea, though. Regards, Danny. You know what, Danny? I agree completely. You know, we'll all be dead before the internet service providers in this country and in the UK get us enough bandwidth where we can push HD effectively. Now, I probably am going to eat my words on that. but I mean true 1080i, 1920 by 1080, that or 1080p, it's going to be a long time coming, folks, before we're able to do that. You can be absolutely guaranteed. I got an email from Sal, and Sal's one of our longtime listeners of the show. And hey, Todd, thought you would find this link interesting. Now, Sal is a Mac fan, so, of course, Sal definitely wanted to send me something here. He said, hey, here's a video of a Microsoft store opening that reveals the real reason they had so many people lined up to enter the store as it opened. Apparently, Microsoft had to entice them heavily to get people to show. Doesn't Apple ever do sales? Anyway, one guy, an admitted Mac guy, was there only for his sister. He probably showed off his MacBook that he had with them. It's fun listening to podcasts. Regards, Sal. And I'll have this link up there. You guys will get a good chuckle out of this. Got an email from Trucker Tom. And thanks, Tom, for these emails. It's great. But NASA is going to eradicate monkeys to study effects of long space trips on humans. NASA to eradicate squirrel monkeys in a research effort of long space trips on humans. And will be NASA's first experiment on primates in decades. And they're saying if a manned mission to Mars ever takes place, the human pilots will be outside its Earth-protected magnetic field for several months. And a little research has been done on this sort of long-term exposure to low doses of radiation. So I guess we're going to use squirrel monkeys to give them a little daily radiation dose. So I'm sure that the PETA folks are going to be upset over this one. Another email from Trucker Tom. TV execs fall in love with the DVR, and I think this is so hypocritical. When DVRs first came out, it seemed obvious that people would skip all the commercials. So networks naturally posed Nielsen's plan to measure commercial viewing during shows that are watched live or played back within 3 days. Contrary to all expectations, though, 46% of viewers 18 to 49, the only demographic that really matters for any network in prime time, are just sitting through the commercials. That means ratings are improving for certain shows and could even help save some programs from what seemed to be a sure trip to the morgue. The big exception, the Jay Leno show, which was once touted as being DVR-proof because it involved topical humor. Turns out, that's not a plus after all. So apparently, people are sitting through their commercials. Now, this article, Tom, was over on Slate, but I did see this other place. Slate is normally wink, wink, ha, ha. Please, people are not sitting through commercials. I have yet to sit through, have my DVR and sit through a commercial. It's in my hand, primed and ready to go. And I'm in that demographic. I know people don't do that, but apparently executives at the movie theaters or movie studios or television studios are saying that DVR is now their best friend. Well, okay. I don't know if I agree with that. And anyway, one more link from Andrew talking about the minimal number of lines being blocked by Google Voice. And we talked about this on the last show, but Andrew, thanks for that. Okay, we did good even without voicemails tonight. Hey, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show tonight. I've had a lot of fun. Hope that you have as well. Doesn't matter when you're listening to the podcast, just remember we're here twice a week for you. Every Tuesday and Friday morning is when the show is released. Those of you that are watching the video on Ustream, want to thank you for hanging out. I'll hang out a little bit after I stop the recording, so hang out for a little bit. And, of course, those of you that want to watch the video up on YouTube or Blip will probably be up there in about 12 hours. That's the challenge with video, especially this long of a video programming is the post-processing required. And we'll be streamlining that process over time. But I'll be back with you Thursday night for a live recording, Friday morning release of the show. Stay subscribed. Make sure on iTunes you have this show set to download all. Don't miss a show because many of you have iTunes set to default to only download the newest show. So don't miss a show on iTunes. Go in there and get that switch set. Make sure you're downloading all. Remind your friends to do that as well on the other podcasts that they listen to so you don't miss episodes. And it's okay if you're a little bit behind. We won't mind. It's about the time-delayed experience here. This is what it's all about. So anyway, that's it. Everyone have a great week. Be good out there. We'll see you on Friday for the release, Thursday night for the live show. Take care, and aloha.